On Awani Review this week is Tengku Zatasha Sultan Sharafuddin Idris Shah. No stranger to advocating for social and environmental causes, the daughter of the Sultan of Selangor has been working tirelessly to promote awareness on a range of issues, from plastic pollution and marine conservation to literacy and food wastage. In light of COVID-19, the princess has started a campaign to highlight the environmental impact from the extensive use and careless disposal of face masks and gloves arising from the pandemic.
Thank you so much, Tengku Zatasha, for making time to speak with me. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has caused so much disruption, right? I'm just wondering, has everything returned to normal for you?
No, I would say there's definitely a new norm. With COVID-19, there's proven to be a lot of challenges, especially the new challenge of masks and gloves, PPE litter. So that's another new challenge in terms of the environment. And even with the increase of single-use plastics. So yes, COVID has changed a lot. And even though, you know, we have our annual International Coastal Cleanup on September 19th. Now that's a global action where everybody can join in and volunteer to be a volunteer on a beach cleanup. And this year, because of COVID-19, we have to obviously reduce the number of volunteers, you know, make sure there's social distancing. We're gonna have to wear masks as well as our gloves to, you know, pick up the litter and the trash on the beaches. But it's still going ahead, and I will still be doing my first beach cleanup for the year because of MCO, all my other beach cleanups had to be cancelled. So now with RMCO, we're just going to take care and, you know, reduce the number of volunteers, but the work will still be done.
Now, you mentioned about, you know, the rise of gloves usage, masks, right? Just a staggering number that we use about 129 billion face masks a month and 60 billion plastic gloves just a month globally. And we're seeing multiple reports coming up from around the world about how, you know, these masks are being washed up on shorelines and you find them in the ocean. Just how detrimental is the impact of these products going into the environment, if you can share with us?
I mean, you know, safety is above all our priority, but it's the way we have to dispose of the masks and the PPE gloves, etc. You know, we shouldn't have the litter, you know, just throw it on the street. It has to be properly disposed of. And that's why on World Environment Day, I had launched the nationwide campaign, hashtag no more litter, hashtag because we care. Because globally, and it's not just only Malaysia, there was a huge amount of masks and gloves being littered on the streets. And the thing is, what people have to realize is that there is a possible contamination issue. It's biohazard risk. So, you know, whoever that has to pick it up can be potentially exposed to any, you know, to any COVID virus. So masks and disposable masks and disposable gloves have to be disposed of properly, you know, closed up in the bin, throw it in the bin. So that's why I did this campaign for World Environment Day. I also encourage people to use reusable face masks. I am using these batik masks. There are two companies that make these beautiful batik masks. It's very Malaysian. One is called Community Tukang Jahit. And they are sewn, hand sewn by the women from B40 low income communities. So they make these masks to earn an income. So whether they're single mothers, you know, B40 from the underprivileged. So it's by supporting Community Tukang Jahit, we are able to support these B40 women who are having a hard time during COVID-19, you know, to search for income, etc. And another one is Nyonya Kain.
Yeah, I've seen those photos on your Instagram. They look really good.
I know. And they all match my different outfits, you know, different colors, different outfits. And Nyonya Kain, how they do is that for every two masks purchased, they'll give one free to the riders who they consider also as our frontliners, and also now to the underprivileged. So the thing about reusable masks, we also have to wear those properly. So that's another one of my educational campaigns, is how to wear the mask properly. And you can wear it with a virus filter sheet inserted into the mask, or you can put the disposable mask inside. So whatever that you can find, and that gives you the proper protection. You know, wearing masks should not be, you know, under your chin or above. Yeah, it's got to cover everything properly. It's got to be a good fit. So these are kind of the things that we talk about. But yes, now masks and PPE gloves, etc., are new categories to be included in the International Coastal Cleanup. They are going to be included on this app, CleanSwell, which when we use it for beach cleanups, it includes everything from plastic bottle caps, tin cans, aluminium, and it has a whole, even cigarette butts. So everything is very clear, and then you tap it in and the data is sent to Ocean Conservancy. So now Ocean Conservancy says that they have to include masks and gloves for the litter.
In Malaysia, is there enough conversation about this problem?
I think there is, but I know that when I started the No More Litter Because We Care, litter has been an issue for years, so it's not nothing new, but it became to a point where I wanted to address it for World Environment Day in June, because it was, you know, because of the risk of contamination for others. So we really, and the reason why I say because we care is because we care for people, we care for the environment. You know, we have to take care of each other, especially during this very trying and difficult time of COVID-19. So, you know, I understand, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have disposable masks, but what I'm saying is that we need to dispose of it properly. And that is the key, that's the key point to make.
So how about initiatives at the policy level, right? I mean, it's a fairly new conversation. We are really just starting to see the impact, right? But do you see any examples, say, in a different country, different nations, on how they are addressing this problem, something that we Malaysians could, you know, practice, could emulate?
Yes, I mean, with the Say No to Plastic, you know, the UN, and I've been on a lot of corporate webinars to talk about to find out more about the plastic pollution since COVID-19, and residential waste has definitely increased, whereas commercial waste had decreased because we're all at home. So, you know, if we can be mindful, you know, I still support that businesses have to, you know, survive during this very trying time. So, you know, they try to survive the best way that they can, and it's great that we have food deliveries, and this is a way that we can support them as well. But we also, if we can be mindful in how much waste that we are throwing away, or if we can be able to reuse it. That's why yesterday I was talking in the conference how important it was to have a circular economy. And for instance, I'm a board director for In Nature Bahad, and In Nature Bahad has the Body Shop Malaysia, Body Shop Cambodia, Vietnam, and Natura. And one of the things, the two things that we're doing on Malaysian level, we have this program, it's called Close the Loop. So basically you can bring your bottles, your Body Shop bottles to the store, and we will recycle those plastics and be using it in different ways. So that's one of the programs. And the other one on a more global level is a campaign called Plastics for Change. And this is a collaboration with Body Shop International. And basically, we are ensuring that the waste pickers in India, there's about 1.5 million plastic waste pickers in India. And with COVID, of course, they are heavily impacted in terms of, you know, in terms of their income. But with this Plastics for Change, the idea is to empower the waste pickers to be able to give them a fair price for what they collect, and also to ensure a sanitary working condition as much as we can. So with this, we have come up with the Body Shop. It's called it's quite a long title, Community Fair Trade Recycled Plastic. So basically ensuring fair trade price, it's using recycled plastics as the packaging. So this is really important when we talk about circular economy. It's about trying to reduce the amount of virgin plastic that we are using, and instead using recyclable, reusable, or even compostable plastic packaging. So the importance of what I'm doing with Say No to Plastic, Zero Food Wastage campaign, No More Litter, or even with cloth care, fabric recycling movement, the whole idea and the concept behind it is to reduce the amount of waste that we send to landfills. So this is why, and it's with cloth care, 100% of all the clothing that we receive through these cloth care bins doesn't go to a landfill. it's recycled or it's upcycled, it's reused, it's used as biofuel, it's used as industrial cloth wipes. So, you know, that is the whole point of cloth care fabric recycling. And for zero food wastage is to save the surplus food so that we're able to feed the urban poor. Why throw good food when, you know, we can actually feed many, many thousands, you know, who are hungry. So through Kachara Soup Kitchen, and with I'm on board of the Yayasan Food Bank Malaysia, that's what we do, is saving the surplus food instead of throwing it in the landfill and having it as waste.
Well, you wear so many hats, just all those that you have mentioned earlier. I want to talk a bit more about that a bit later on in the show. But, you know, you touch on how certain companies are practicing sustainability in their business, for instance, The Body Shop, right? What more can private entities do to support environmental efforts? Because, you know, one of the reasons businesses do not get into sustainability is cost, right? It's hard, it's expensive. These are some of the reasons that are given. Is there merit to that argument?
No, I think sustainability shouldn't actually be a cost. And it, if you think of it in the long term, it wouldn't be. But there are a lot of businesses, whether it's globally as well as in Malaysia, that have turned, you know, sustainability, and they listen to people like me who've been asking, for instance, supermarkets and plastic packaging, the plastic wraps around fruits and veg. I said it would be great if we didn't have that, because, you know, it'd be like in a farmer's market where you can actually see the vegetables, but they're not in a plastic wrap. And Village Grocer have done exactly that. They have put all their fruits and veg, most of the fruits and veg are not in plastic packaging. So it can work, you know. Why if it works in a farmer's market, it can't work in a supermarket?
Was it difficult to convince these businesses to get on board?
Well, I'm known as the persistent princess, so I just keep harping on the message. But, you know, I was really pleased to see that. And I was in the supermarket just the other day, Village Grocers teaming up with Yayasan Food Bank, so you can have a food drop-offs where we feed the urban poor with these food drop-offs. But I saw all their fruits and veg didn't have plastic packaging. So, you know, small changes can make a huge, huge difference. And other businesses overseas in France and in UK, such as Tesco, they've signed up with TerraCycle and Loop. Now, Loop is a great concept. And I met the founder and the owner, Tom Zaki, when I was one of the speakers at the Sustainability Summit in Paris this year. And Loop is fantastic because they have these refillable containers. They're stainless steel, and they've signed up with tons of consumer brands. And the idea is basically that you would, the consumer would pay a deposit. They would use these containers. So they could be Heinz ketchup, it could be Nivea, it could be Ren skincare product, it can be Persil liquid detergent. You know, all these brands have signed up with Loop. And when you're finished with the container, you drop it off at the supermarket in the Loop bin, and you get your deposit back. So that is a whole idea of closing the loop, you know. So it's the idea that you're not wasting and throwing package into the bin, which ends up in a landfill. So these are great ideas, and Tesco signed up with them, Carrefour in France, many, many brands, L'Oreal France has signed up as well with TerraCycle to use, and they make a lot of pledges. So a lot of businesses have made pledges, you know, for sustainability, that it's not just a hype word, it's not just a page on your annual report to say, yes, I'm sustainable. It's gotta be the whole chain, the whole way through from A to Z. That's what sustainability for businesses mean, and it shouldn't cost. It wouldn't cost in the end. You're not having packaging, they're coming these stainless steels, you know? So the more that people buy into it, the more that people are following zero waste lifestyle, zero waste stores. We have loads of zero waste stores here in Malaysia. You know, and a lot of my junior eco warriors, they're as young as 10 years old, 11 years old, and they are 100% into the zero waste lifestyle. It's amazing. And they tag me, they bring their mum to the zero, or the grandma to the zero waste stores. And they even tell their mum, you know, we want to go to the Princess Beach cleanup. So the mum has to drive like 2 hours early morning to do a beach cleanup with me. So yeah, it's really great to see a lot of people, you know, jumping on board. So there's a lot of talk, and it just, you know, I think if everybody has a responsibility, corporations, policymakers, us as consumers and individuals, we all have that responsibility to say, hey, we can make a small change. It doesn't have to be something massive, but step by step, the more changes we make, the better it is.
So I want to talk about making change and your personal journey in advocacy, right? To raise awareness on wastage, be it plastics or food. You also promote a lot of other initiatives, literacy among children. You know, why are these issues so important to you?
It's just something that speaks to my heart and something that I do. You know, when you think of causes, it has to be something that's very close to you and something that you feel very passionate about. But then for it to work and to be credible, you know, like for instance, the Zero Food Wastage campaign I launched in 2016, we've saved 1,000 tons just through with Kachara to save the surplus food and feed the urban poor. So, you know, it's important because why? In 2015, I was a volunteer at Kachara Soup Kitchen. I was feeding the homeless, I was feeding the urban poor. Then I saw this article, it came out that we throw away 230,000 tons of food in Ramadan buffets in Malaysia alone. So I said, well, we need to save that food because the food is edible, it's good. I mean, you know, so that's how it all started. And I started writing to the hotels and it has grown and grown and grown. Sadly, with MCO, I wasn't able to do zero food wastage this year, but we have continued by giving donations and, you know, with Kachara Food Bank and the Food Bank Malaysia, we have ensured that we're getting a lot of the food out to those in need. So this is something that I saw with my own eyes, my own experience, and I needed to do something about it. So that's
but did you ever imagine that it would have become, you know, such a big movement? For instance, Say No to Plastics, you started in 2016 and it has become, I guess, Malaysia's largest movement against single-use plastics.
It's the largest. So there's many players out there, to be fair. There's a lot of Zero Waste Malaysia movement, etc. And everybody's doing their part. But Say No to Plastic is basically me saying, you know, I'm sharing it with you. Let's make this viral. Tag me, tag that, use the hashtag and say that you're on board with Say No to Plastic. And that's how it's come about, that it has become so viral and that's become international. I see people in Greece using Say No to Plastic with the two. And I'm like, you know, this is so great to see that people are on board. So, you know, again, all my campaigns are not about me. It's about sharing it with everybody else to say, hey, we can do it together, you know. So that's the wonderful thing about these campaigns.
How much of that want to give back to society, how much of that is due to your family upbringing?
A lot. I mean, you know, I did a lot of charity work since I was a very young age. I was sent to a UK school, boarding school, very young. So we did a lot of charity work with Cheshire Homes, with the British Red Cross. So I've done a lot since I was growing up. And, you know, my mother used to take me to visit the villages and be able to give back and give food when it's Ramadan month. So it's been something ingrained. But there's something that I always say to the youths when I do my university talks, and I visit a lot of universities to give talks to them, is that, you know, don't rant on your Facebook. If you're not happy about something or you want to see something to change, you make that change and you can influence others to do it as well. It can be like a dominoes effect. You can influence your classmates, your school, your university, your parents, your family, and then it becomes your community. And before you know it, just that one person that said, I want to make the change, you can, you know, mobilize so many. Look at Greta Thunberg. You know, she managed to mobilize so many just through her one. She's standing there with a placard and now everybody's on board.
Now, when people talk about Tengku Zatasha, they think about the princess, right? And one would probably easily assume that, you know, the royal title is what gives you the upper hand in life. But it's very far from the truth, right? What are some of the things that people do not know about you, misconceptions that people have?
Yeah, that's very true. There's always an assumption, you know, it's an assumption that, you know, a lot of the young kids, they're very cute, my Make-A-Wish kids, I think they assume that I would walk around with a tiara and I float around the palace. It's far from the truth. you know, and they kind of look at me a little bit disappointed, like, she doesn't look like Elsa from Frozen, you know. I think, you know, that we're all blessed in many ways, and it's important to give back as much as we can, or as, you know, whatever amount, whatever effort really does make a difference. And especially with coming up with Merdeka, you know, that I think in Malaysia, if we're unity and unified and help one another, be kind, be compassionate, share those messages, you know, that gives me a lot of heart. So yeah, a lot of people make those assumptions that, you know, as a princess, I just swan around with the tiara, but no, I'm a working princess.
You studied abroad, right? And you worked abroad for quite a while, and then you decided to come back to Malaysia. Did you always knew that you come back?
I didn't actually know I'd always come back, but I was working in Paris. I married my French husband, and he was the one that actually said, listen, let's move back to Malaysia. I love your country. So I was like, oh, okay, sure. You know, we all had our corporate jobs at the time in Paris, but I haven't looked back since. You know, we love this country. My husband, he loves Malaysia, and I love being back here. And since then, I've been able to do these sort of campaigns, and it, you know, it's really given me a lot of purpose. It's very rewarding. It's very fulfilling. I meet a lot of people. You know, if I visit the PPR flats, I meet a lot of them. I listen to their stories, even with the homeless. You know, and it's with all the charity works and things that I do, and visiting the students in the universities. It's been a busy time, but I enjoy it very much.
So you wear so many hats, right? You are the royal patron for Make-A-Wish Malaysia. You are the chairman of Yayasan Food Bank, and you are also the president of Alliance Française Kuala Lumpur. You run so many campaigns, and do you think you have achieved what you have set out to do?
Well, I thought I was quite done with my campaigns, to be fair, until I realized this year I wanted to do the No More Litter Because We Care campaign. You know, that's a collaboration that I did with Recheck Malaysia, and we wanted to make it as viral as possible, that everybody would hold up the poster and say No More Litter Because We Care. And I think we'll probably see a lot of that on International Coastal Cleanup, which I'm collaborating again with Recheck Malaysia to do a small beach cleanup somewhere in Selangor. But it's nationwide. So, you know, if you check Recheck Malaysia, they've got a website, and there's a lot of places that you can go and do a volunteer beach cleanup. So it's open for everybody. And, you know, let's try and keep our streets clean, just try and keep our beaches clean, and be more mindful.
So just one final question for you, Tengku Zatasha. You are very well known for a distinctive style, right? You always wear the baju kebaya like you're doing right now. Why the baju kebaya? Yes, you're matching. Why baju kebaya? Why is it, is this a fashion statement, or is there a message that you're trying to send across?
I'm trying to set across, it's both. I absolutely love it. I have Nyonya Peranakan heritage. So Nyonya Kebaya is from Nyonya Peranakan. So I have a lot of kebayas and batiks that are handed down from my grandmother to my mother, and I can still wear it today. I think it's important that we embrace our traditional and heritage roots, you know, and so whether it's a baju Melayu kebaya or baju kurung, I love to wear it because I think it's an important statement, and it represents who I am, and it's very pretty, and I also wouldn't want to see it as a dying trade. You know, it's very hard apparently these days to find apprentices to take up and do the embroidery, because it's a lot of hard work for the embroidery and of the Nyonya Kebaya. So anyway, I like to support our small businesses, support our local businesses. So it's always a kebaya for me. It's my go-to.
Looks lovely on you. Well, thank you so much, Tengku Zatasha, for spending time with us. I wish you all the best in all the campaigns that you're doing, and I hope we can meet in person someday. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yes, I hope so too. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.